This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in RV insurance. RVs are for sharing adventures with family, friends, and even your pets. So if you bring your cats and dogs along for the ride, you'll want Progressive RV insurance. They protect your cats and dogs like family by offering up to $1,000 in optional coverage for vet bills in case of an RV accident, making it a great companion for the responsible pet owner who loves to travel. See Progressive's other benefits and more when you quote RV insurance at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet injury is an additional coverage and subject to policy terms.
My guest today is Griffin McElroy. He's here to talk about his review of Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. My name is Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control.
Thief's End makes it sound like this is a video game that's mostly about Nathan Drake's butt. Doesn't it sound like that?
You do spend a lot of time looking at it, I guess. Yeah.
A thief's rear end. Wouldn't that be a really bold choice for Naughty Dog to make to like send this franchise off?
You would never see that coming. Never see that coming.
No.
Uncharted 4 is a thief's end. It's the end of Nathan Drake. And he's right. Wrapping it up.
Mm-hmm.
He's done all the adventures he's going to do today, and he is ready to pack it in.
Taking his ball, and he's going home. And his ball is a gun.
Griffin, describe your sort of like affinity to or sort of proficiency with the Uncharted franchise before you endeavored on this review.
Sure. So I played Uncharted 1, and much like pretty much everybody who played Uncharted 1, I thought it was okay. I thought it was fine. Very pretty game. Didn't do a whole lot for me. And then, of course, Uncharted 2 came out and, like, just blew my doors off. Uncharted 2 is probably one of my favorite games of all time. I think it's a little perfect little crystalline little nug of a good game. And mm-hmm. I like it very much. And I can remember, like, every second of everything that happened to that game. Uncharted 3 was very good. Not as good as Uncharted 2. I think I reviewed that one. I don't remember when it came out. I think it may have been actually pre-Polygon. And, yeah, it was a good, pretty derivative of Uncharted 2. And the sort of plot of that game was a little bit harder to sort of follow, by which I mean it was basically just like a bunch of exploding set pieces and then like a really tenuous thread tying them all together. And then, yeah, I reviewed Uncharted 4 for Polygon.com. I've been looking forward to it for a while. I tried as hard as I could to sort of stay dark about it so I could be surprised by the stuff that happened in the game. Although I think that was really unnecessary because I think the things that are surprising about Uncharted 4 would be really difficult to spoil, which I guess is a good way to like say here at the top of the episode that we're probably not going to get into too many spoilers about Uncharted 4, hopefully. It's up to you, I guess, and the questions you ask.
Well, I know that one of the main points when they announced the game was that Nathan Drake's brother...
Sam.
Dathan Drake. No, no. Sam? Is it Sam?
Dathan Drake.
Sam would be in the game. And like my interest level in that was about zero.
It's very much like it's like Dawn in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. How like it's like season 5, episode 1 at the end of it. It's just like, oh, and here's your sister. And you're just supposed to be like, oh, yeah, I guess she's had a secret sister. No, they actually do a pretty good job of explaining like why Nathan doesn't talk about Drathan all that much. They introduce him into the series in a really organic way. And then his character and the relationship that him and Drake has is interesting insofar as it all kind of every facet of the game, like every like character's relationship to Nathan, all of like the history of this big treasure that they're all going after, and like the parties who have gone after it in the past and the parties that are like sort of competing with Nathan and a company in the present. It's all allegorical to like this bigger conversation about like ambition and whether or not like the ambition that Nathan Drake has shown, this like adventurous spirit that you've seen from Nathan Drake, this whole franchise is maybe like kind of a bad thing, like kind of an unhealthy thing and something that he should like walk away from while he still has the chance. Mm-hmm. Like literally everything, like every journal entry is kind of goes all in on this idea of like, can a thief like Nathan Drake, be good? And like, there's all these questions about what is Nathan pursuing? And you see different reflections of like, is it like Sam, who's just like kind of in it for the money? Or is it like the new antagonist, a guy named Rafe, who is fairly single faceted, but his single facet is like him trying to prove himself to get away from like his parents' fortune. So there's like an aspect of like proving your self-worth. Like each character has these different traits of like why they want to go after the treasure. And all of it kind of reflects like Nathan Drake's ambitions. In a way that is like surprisingly not ham-fisted at all. And it's like a really, really interesting look at why Drake does what he does. And it does more sort of character work on Drake than all of the past three games combined, which were great, but sort of defaulted to like Hollywood stereotypes, like let's get it. Let's get in there and get it. Let's kill all the guys and get the gold.
We have so many questions from listeners, Griffin. I want to hit you with a few of them. This first one's from Javier, who asks, I've never played an Uncharted game. Can I just jump into this one and still enjoy it?
Nah. I mean, yeah, it's a good game. It's a fun game, but like, it is a phenomenal payoff to this whole series. It's a really, really excellent payoff to the series, and you will lose, I think, more or less all of that if you have not played it. Unfortunately, you got the Nathan Drake collection that you can hop into. Now, I would say just like burn through Uncharted 1 as quick as you possibly can. I think there's like a graphic novel or something on.
There's I don't know, because I'm sitting here thinking like I don't remember anything like that one. No, almost, has that
you
guns
could,
and
you
stuff
could
and...
almost maybe skip Uncharted 1 because it introduces Nate and Sully and Elena, and that's about all that it does. Right. I think it's definitely the worst of the franchise. Uncharted 2 is incredible and you should play through all of that. And then Uncharted 3, just like burn through the action sequences because there's some really cool stuff that happens in that game. But it's a bit of a letdown after Uncharted 2. But like you need all that stuff. You need all that character work because Uncharted 4 does like an excellent, excellent job of tying everything up with a nice bow. And that sounds like a lot of times when you say that about a finale of something, it sounds like you're being diminutive. It is impressive how well it ties up stuff. You just have to like know this stuff before it ties it up to really get a lot out of it, I think.
Ben says, as someone who grew tired of seeing the same plot beats used in each game, does Uncharted 4 break the pattern?
It does. And I think it where it breaks the pattern most. Speaking on like a broad level, it breaks the pattern in that there's just so much more exposition and environmental storytelling and like character development that happens in this game more so than the other games. And it that may not sound like your cup of tea, but it really is. It's the best paced of all of the Uncharted games, like by a country mile. But case in point, there is an option to, you have your chapter select after you finish the game. Maybe you can do it like while you're still playing it, but you can chapter select and hop in any chapter you've done and play through that. But then there's also something called encounter select, which lets you hop into like the big firefights, the big action sequences, and you jump right into it. Like if it's in the middle of a chapter, you just do it. And then it's its own little self-contained thing. There are entire chapters where there isn't an encounter to select because there's like not a big gunfight in that one. There's not a big like.
Boo.
There's not a bit. Well, no, it's like
snore fest, right?
No, it's actually like really, really, genuinely very great.
Give me a gun. We'll wrap this conversation up real quick.
It does make it maybe a little bit harder to record and produce videos, gameplay videos from.
Yeah.
But like when you're playing it, man, it's just like.
There's that one scene where he and Sully are swinging on a rope for 20 minutes, just talking about their feelings. It's like, guys, get off the rope. You're going to fall. It's dangerous.
No, but I mean, there is a chapter where like there's a couple of flashbacks back to like Nathan and Sam when they are younger. And one of them doesn't involve any like really high tension action sequences, but it is one of my favorite scenes from the game. And I'll go ahead and say, like I mentioned this in the review, too. I don't think there's anything really on par with Uncharted 2's cliffhanger train or Uncharted 3's like upside down underwater boat. And as dope as those are, and as memorable as those are, Uncharted 4 definitely has some cool action sequences, including like a really great car chase. But I don't think there's anything like on par with those things. But I think Uncharted 3 suffers from having maybe too many of those things. And then like that was the thing they led with when they were designing the game. Like, well, we want to have a scene with a dope ass cargo plane. We want to have a bar fight. We want to have an upside down boat. And then they like the thread they used to tie those things together is not great. And Uncharted 4, they approached it backward, they approach it the opposite way, and I think it definitely benefits from that.
Griff, you said to me when we recorded a video about this game that you really hope that they leave the franchise here.
Yeah,
is that from a purely narrative perspective, or also do mechanics figure into that? Are you done with it from that perspective as well?
I will say 90% the first thing. Like the and again, I don't want to get into spoilers, but there's this overwhelming sense, and it's like ever present through the entire campaign. There's this sense of just like you want Nathan to just be done with it. Like you just want Nathan to like one thing I will say is this game does not do what past Uncharted games do, which is like, you know, certain characters will get together at the end of one game and there will be like a nice sort of like romantic like peak to their storyline, and then like Uncharted 3 starts up and it's like they haven't spoken in months. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like a clean reboot with all new characters and a new adventure, a new fortune to chase down, and like all that shit that happened in the past game, don't worry about that. Don't think about that much. Uncharted 4 doesn't do that. Like Uncharted 4 like picks up after Uncharted 3, and the relationships that were built at the end of that game carry over, and the events that happen in that game have consequences in Uncharted 4. It is not a clean reboot. So like you get a, for lack of a better term, like a Nathan Drake living a much quieter life. And then there's this struggle of just like, you kind of like that and don't want him to like get like face off with an army and like get shot a whole bunch and thrown off cliffs and shit. Like you just want him to be done with the adventure. And like I said, like the whole campaign is about that. Like everything that happens in the campaign is about that struggle and about that tension. And by the end of it, you just like want him to be done with it. Is the mechanics of like running around shooting dudes and doing stealth kills and just climbing and swinging around mountains getting a little long in the tooth? Maybe a little bit. But more importantly, like this is a game about Nathan Drake retiring. And I think if they come back at E3 2018 and say like, look who we've dusted off, I would be genuinely disappointed about that. And that's to Naughty Dog's credit though. Like it is so hard to do what they did in Uncharted 4 to like give a character a send off like this, where you don't want to see them again because the way that they wrote their ending is so good. But that's what they've done here.
Joe has a question. Is there still dissonance between the game's tone and how many bodies Nathan Drake piles up?
Yeah, there's always going to be yes, there's always going to be that. I think there's always going to be that. He murders so many people. Mm-hmm. And you can do all the good storytelling you want in a video game. And you can like extrapolate that out to like, there's a sense of reality to like the way that characters' relationships build up and break down in this game. It is the, for lack of a better term, most real. I've seen a lot of people say like it borrows from The Last of Us in that sense. Naughty Dog's last big game. Uh-huh. In that like that was very much a game about a relationship and the changes in that relationship, and like it was a quieter game, I guess. And sure, there's definitely some of that there. I don't know that The Last of Us like broke the mold on character development and storytelling, but like yes, Uncharted 4 is a quieter game in that regard. But like as soon as you start to extrapolate that out and like say like this is a game about real human relationships, only one of the guys in that relationship just like fucking murders like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of guys. So like yeah, that dissonance is always going to be there. But like at the same time, the game does like, it does something like kind of bold for a game developer, which is to like really take a long look at the fact that the protagonist of your game is kind of an asshole. Mm-hmm. I love Nathan Drake, but he's kind of an asshole. And he's like kind of, he can be kind of selfish and he can be like very, very isolating. And While the game doesn't go so far as to, like, I think the best was, like, at the end of Uncharted 2, like, the main antagonist, when you're, like, facing him down, he's like, well, you killed, like, hundreds of people, dude. Like, you're no better than me. Uncharted 4, it doesn't get, like, that on the nose about talking about all of the manslaughter that happens. But it does, like, talk about, like, and it's one of the things that, like, you also kind of want him to be done with this life for that reason as well. But it does talk about the fact that, like, Nathan Drake can be kind of a bad guy, and maybe, like, maybe the Nathan Drake that we see in these Uncharted games is actually this guy at his worst and his most, like, self-destructive, which is a really interesting thought for a video game. But no, they don't, you know, I don't think there's a scene in Uncharted 4 where it's like time to atone for just all the murder sin.
One more question, kind of leave this on a slightly lighter note. Christian says, what do you think is the best new gameplay bit in the game? The hook, the winch in the Jeep, stealth?
The winch in the Jeep is very good. I did not mention it. You only use it a few times. I think it was like Steven Sotelo at Kotaku pointed it out. Like, it's good winch technology. You have a Jeep that you can drive around, and there's a winch on the front of it, and you literally have to, like, take the winch and, like, run it around, like, an old tree that you want to pull over. And you literally, like, while you're holding the thing, you run around it, and the cord wraps around the tree in real time, and you connect it. It's good winch physics. But no, the grappling hook is, like, the best part, because it adds a lot of variety to the climbing, which is, like, it needs very badly. Most of the climbing, like, routes offer you multiple paths up, which is also good because it feels a little bit more like you're kind of carving your own path rather than just, like, following a series of what was essentially, like, slow time events, just, like, moving from rock to rock. Also, the grappling hook can be used in combat. Like, if you just get bored with a firefight, you can just, like, hook onto a grapple point in the middle of the room and then just, like, Cirque du Soleil blast fools, which is kind of fun.
Awesome.
But no, I mean, the mechanics, the honest to God, the best mechanic of the game is that enemies, I feel like, go down much faster. If you get a good headshot off, like, they're done. They're less mm-hmm. bullet spongy. And then gunfights, I feel like, are faster and fewer and farther between. And so you just get into that good storytelling and exploration and stuff much faster. So, like, that's kind of busted, I guess, at the best. My favorite mechanic from the game is there's less shooting, but there you have it.
But more kills.
I guess
just more death. Griffin, thank you so much for joining me. You can read Griffin's review of Uncharted 4 right now on polygon.com. There's a ton of other stuff there waiting there for you, and you should go read it right now. But that's going to do it for us for the time being. And until the next time we got a game to talk about, for Griffin McElroy, my name is Justin McElroy, and thank you for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.